We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Doc Insider.
Duck's going to pick it up, and here we go.
Chuck.
How about that?
How about that?
And Oregon repeats as the Pac-12 champion.
Omarui for three. Yes!
Oh, and a steal and slam.
Duarte to the basket, the slam. For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Outright champ.
Holy three, goal, holy ball.
Left wing, Pau.
Yeah, boom, boom.
Regular season champions. And now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Thank you and happy Friday and everybody joining us across the Oregon Sports Network. Joey Mack here with you. A lot of things to get to on a Friday, and happy Friday to everybody. It feels good to be talking on a Friday, especially because Oregon volleyball is back. If you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll actually be giving you some updates on Oregon volleyball because they're taking on the Cougars in Pullman, and we might be tuning in via our friends at Pac-12 Network here right now. So if you see me looking at our camera that usually we send you to break with, it's because that's actually where our TV is in the studio. It's conveniently hid, isn't it? So we're going to do that. In all seriousness, though, I'm just so happy that they're back in action. Matt Ulmer, his squad, we're going to be talking about them coming up as the Ducks are coming off a 9-20 season. Not their best. I mean, things didn't go well for Oregon due to injuries, due to a lot of different things. So we have that for you coming up. And we also have a full preview of a bunch of basketball games this weekend because – well, this is a huge weekend for both women's basketball trying to bounce back and men's basketball being back in competition. And a big announcement today from Oregon football as well. A key position on Oregon's staff. And yes, we see all the same reports that you do, and when we have an official announcement, we'll give it to you. The official announcement that we do have, Don Johnson Jr. been promoted to the director of player personnel. And in all seriousness, though, congratulations to Don Johnson. He was the director of high school relations for the Ducks, and they've promoted from within. He's now the director of player personnel, and that's awesome. Congratulations to Don Johnson. Absolutely deserving, and that's great to see him getting that promotion. Really, really cool. Women's basketball with a tough one tonight. Washington State is the opponent, 5 o'clock. That means Terry Johns and Bev Smith are on the air with a 4:30 pregame show here on the Oregon Sports Network. Huge matchup for Oregon because Washington State, that was a good game. It was the final game before the Christmas break. You'll remember, Terry and I were here in the studio as Terry was doing the game, and I was going like, man, Washington State's pretty darn good. And, of course, Coach Graves now has said since, like, hey, everybody who poo-pooed our close win at Washington State, now you know why. I think we definitely do know why. That's a pretty good team up there in Pullman. And they're here in Eugene to take on the Ducks here this evening. I think a couple big keys for Oregon, and we're going to hear from Kelly Graves coming up, actually in two parts. Kelly Graves giving you his full preview, his update on his team. And then, of course, men's basketball as well. The Ducks, 7:30, Saturday. It's Oregon and Oregon State. 7 o'clock pregame show with myself and Jerry Allen. It doesn't get any better than this. And the Ducks are back at it. After having three games postponed, it's good to see Oregon back on the floor. Now, if you missed the news yesterday or if you're just joining us, Chris Duarte and LJ Figueroa not going to play for the Ducks on Saturday. They're still in protocol. Asymptomatic cases, which is good news, but going through the proper protocols, and that means that Chris Duarte and LJ Figueroa not going to play against the Beavers. Will Richardson does have his cast off after his thumb surgery on December 2nd. He has yet to make his debut this season. It will not come this Saturday. We know that now. As Coach Altman announced that, and you're going to hear him talk through some of the details coming up on the show in just a little while. So the Ducks are going to be a little bit shorthanded. They will dress 12 players, 8 of them scholarship athletes. But guys like Will Johnson, Gabe Reichel, Luke Osborne, Eddie Ionescu, they're ready to go. Coach was pretty happy with their work in practice. And we might see some different rotations than we're accustomed to because the Ducks will be a little bit shorthanded. Now, meanwhile, Oregon State head coach Wayne Tinkle said this week that he expects the Beavers to be full strength. Now, we say all of this, and let's all remember for a moment that we really don't know who's going to play until the ball is tipped off. Good news for Oregon is that they do expect Jalen Terry to be back. Ducks missed him. They missed him the last few weeks, but they do expect Jalen Terry to be back with the team and playing coming up. So we're going to preview both of those basketball matchups, keep you up to date on what's going on with Oregon as the Ducks have drawn first blood. Woo! That's what you like to see. Let's talk a little bit more about this women's basketball matchup with Washington State, and then I should remind you that Oregon women's basketball will also play at 2 o'clock on Sunday against the Huskies, and then at 11 a.m. on Sunday, both of these are on Pac-12 Network. Oregon volleyball will play Washington State. That's also at 11 a.m. So Cammie Etheridge has this Washington State team rolling right now. They're at 5-3 in conference, 7-3 overall, and they're receiving votes in all the polls. They're currently ranked number 32 in the net ranking. Meanwhile, Oregon is at number 4 in the net ranking. Net ranking, kind of the new measure and the new way to gauge where you stand based on strength of schedule and your quality of wins. Ducks are the number 13 team in the country. They're sitting at 7-3 in Pac-12 play. So they've got a couple games in terms of wins up on Washington State, but the same amount of losses in conference so far. That's going to be a good rematch. And honestly, Niara Sabali was huge on December 21st. 19 points, 14 rebounds, a double-double, as well as 18 points on 5-of-5 shooting from three-point range by Aaron Boley. Now, really, Niara Sabali and Aaron Boley, I think, were the differences in that matchup. Oregon ranks number 16 in the nation, third in the Pac-12, 1.34 team assist-to-turnover ratio. I think that's a huge key in this game against Washington State. The Ducks have got to get their ball movement going because Arizona really stifled them. It was not the offensive performance that we expected and frankly, that Coach Graves and his team is accustomed to. So I think ball movement going to be really key. The Ducks just have to figure out a way to get that ball movement and score, because I know this sounds really dumb as I say this out loud, but you got to score more points than the other team to win the game. Well, Oregon just wasn't scoring enough points to beat anybody against Arizona. Arizona, you got to give credit where credit's due. But the Ducks need to get back to that level of scoring that they're used to. I think that's going to be a huge key. Oregon's had 11 different players this year combined for 44 double-figure scoring performances through 12 games. The versatility and the spreading of wealth on this Oregon women's basketball team, I think, is really, really critical. But also, I'd like to see somebody, when really the game's on the line, just take over. I think that could be Niara Sobley. I think it can be Erin Boley at times. That's just me, my amateur eyes looking on. But I feel like in a tough matchup with Washington State, it'd be nice to see somebody just kind of take over. They're like, we're scoring this possession. Ducks might need some of that. Kelly Graves talked with the media, and I want to play some of his greatest hits, if you will, from his conversations with the media this week, because there's a lot to think about as you head into this 5 o'clock matchup, Oregon and Washington State. Let's hear from the head coach, Kelly Graves.
Kelly, I wonder if this eight-day kind of an extended break here was needed after the Arizona game and kind of a rough couple weeks, and what you guys were able to accomplish during that time.
Well, when you say a rough couple weeks, we had a tough game at Arizona. I think before that, we played relatively well. We lost 3 of 4. I get it, but I don't think the world's coming to an end. But, yeah, it was nice to have a couple extra days. I think any time, this time of year, you get in the meat of the schedule, an extra day off is fine. I would have much rather have played the game in Tempe, but we've turned our attention to Washington State.
Kelly, how did the team respond in practice, and have you seen any leaders kind of come out of the Arizona game? You know, in past years, obviously you had some great leadership, especially number 20, that would have vocally and by example taken the baton. Have you seen that as well, and how have they responded?
We have had two really good practices this week. I thought both Monday and Tuesday, yesterday, we looked really good. We played really hard. They were competitive practices, the most competitive we've had in a while. I think we're trying. You can tell people, they're engaged, and I think they realize that we've, got to be better this week. So I can tell there's been a little better focus. You can tell some are trying. I think they realize this. They're in new territory as well. So they realize that we've got to do some things better. And like I said, they've come out more and more focused. I'm not necessarily going to say what players, because leadership comes in different forms. You look at somebody like Erin Boley, who's the consummate collegian. She's a very professional. She leads by example. She works hard. She's always prepared every day, has a good attitude, but you need leadership in different forms from different people. And it's manifested as such. So we're still a work in progress in that regard.
Kelly, after the Arizona game, you mentioned looking into tightening the rotations a little bit, not asking you to give away every which person and whatnot, but has that started in practice in terms of who might get more time and who might get a little bit less time and what that's starting to look like?
Well, I don't know about more or less time, but we've certainly put a certain unit together a little bit more this week. We've basically divided up our lineup most days in practice pretty much the whole year. We've basically set on a group that we hope will really work for us. And then I think we'll just play it by ear for the rest of the game. But I don't know if you're going to see the same kind of revolving door. Again, that remains to be seen. It's still fluid in practice. I think we still have a lot of players that are vying for that time and competing.
Just an update on Sedona. I know last game it seems like she was limited in terms of the number of minutes she could play. Is that opening up a little bit, or kind of what's the progress been there?
Yeah, I was glad she got to play a little bit last week just to get her feet wet. And I thought she did a pretty good job. You can tell she's a little rusty. Has had a nice week of practice. She's still limited to some degree in what she can do during practice. She should be ready to go for this week. I think she's really excited too. And I think she's been pain-free for the most part.
Yeah, Kelly, talking about how last week was so, kind of away from your guys' identity. When you kind of tackle the task of regaining that identity, what are some of the things you're looking for from your team?
We can't turn the ball over as much. We can't deal with pressure in that way. We've got to be a little bit more patient offensively. I thought we took some really early shots. You know, the one good thing that came out of that, you guys, we gave up 57 points. That's really a nice job to a team like that on the road. They had 20 in the first quarter, so to allow 37 points over the last three quarters is, you know, really getting it done. If you would have told me that we would have held them to 57, I would have said, well, we got a double-digit win. And obviously that wasn't the case. So there were some things to build on from that. It wasn't all bad down in the desert. But, yeah, it was just, you know, one of those games. I think we talked about it earlier. You know, we knew that we were going to have some highs and lows, be kind of a roller coaster at times. I didn't think it would quite look like that on the down. But, you know, we just got to get back up and do better this week. That's all I can say. I don't really know anything else to say in that regard. It's over. Hopefully we learn from it and we'll be better. We better be better on Friday or else, you know, the same could happen.
Kelly, you alluded to it a week or so ago, but your win at Washington State turned out to be a big one considering how feisty they are. Now, I know they're coming off back-to-back losses, but both in overtime to good teams. Yeah. What's it going to take to sweep them, and why are they so good this year?
Well, they're good because they know who they are. You know, I think their roles have been defined, and then they have two really great players, superstars. The two sisters are excellent, and you know, their inside game is coming as well. You know, they just have a bunch of kids that really know how to play. They don't make a ton of mistakes. They get good shots each and every time down. They have the ball in the right people's hands. They're a good team. They really are. And they defend well. They scout well. You can tell their kids stick to the scout. So we're going to have to be really good. Yeah, that game, that win up there has proven to be, you know, a good win for us. I still see we're like fourth in the net. So, you know, I think that kind of a road win always benefits you. But, yeah, we're going to have to be equally as good this time, if not better.
Looking beyond even just Friday, Kelly, obviously Washington has postponed their game with OSU, but I realize contact tracing and timing could impact things. So beyond just it could be another short week of one game, or you certainly hope it's two. Do you have any inclination as to when the ASU game may get made up? Will they come for like a couple days early for one of those? And Cal's on the brink. Is there any concern about them doing what Virginia did and calling it a season?
Well, there's always a concern, you know, because this thing, you just don't know from day to day what's going to happen next. I'm hopeful that we will play on Sunday. I hope we don't have just one game. In terms of the makeup, James, you know, I don't know how they're going to play that out. You know, that's the first Pac-12 game we've missed. So if they prioritize and say, well, you know, because there's only going to be so many games that are going to be able to be made up. And so they might go with the teams that have missed the most games. You know, maybe they'll have priority. I don't know. I haven't been told that. That's not ducking the question. That's just something that the Pac-12 has not told me. I know we have Oregon State on the last weekend. Everybody has their travel partners. I think that was done so that, you know, if you needed a makeup game or two, maybe that's where it could be slotted. We always have that extra week between the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament. I think there's been talk that time could also be used for makeup. You know, look at Stanford. Stanford's next week going up and playing Washington State Wednesday and Friday. So that's potential. I think it's still up in the air, big guy. I don't know.
I think all of those different options are on the table. You know, we've heard a lot of different conversations around not just the Pac-12, but college basketball in general. There's so many different things that you could do schedule-wise, and I think that things are going to get creative. I did think it was interesting, though, that with that conference tournament, and then you'd have a week after heading into the NCAA tournament, I mean, at that point, your conference tournament's already set. You might have a champion, and then the seeding could have been different based on if you play those games after the fact. I mean, that would be odd. There's no doubt about that. That would be odd. But play as many games as you can, right? Try to bolster that NCAA tournament resume, because that's ultimately what matters most. Get a quick timeout. When we come back, more preview of Oregon and Washington State. Then we're going to switch gears, talk a little men's basketball. Ducks and Beavers coming up Saturday at 7:30. And also some updates on Oregon volleyball. Yeah. Stick with us. More with Kelly Graves after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to relieve volatize it.
What?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
Twins have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through, like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Troy Mack, welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by Point Community Credit Union inside the Country Financial Studio, where Duck Insider is also brought to you by Crumble Cookies. Come check out Crumble Cookies off Coburg Road here in Eugene, or wherever you want to get your Crumble Cookies. Now I'm hungry. This is what happens. Oregon and Washington State coming up. Women's basketball tonight at Matthew Knight Arena. 4:30 pregame show with Terry Johns and Bev Smith. 5 o'clock tip-off, also televised on Pac-12 Network. Ducks looking for a big bounce back. More with Oregon women's basketball head coach Kelly Graves.
Coaches talk all the time about, you know, controlling the things you can control, and this is kind of a season where there are a lot of things that are out of your control. You know, if you're talking postponed games that could potentially impact seeding, for instance, when conference tournament time comes, I mean, how do you balance that as a coach, knowing that you can only control certain things, but those things may have a direct effect on what happens come March?
Yeah. You know, I have a coaching friend of mine who I follow on Twitter. I've known him for a long time, and he every day tweets out, "Blessed to see another day." And I always kid him. I say, well, that's really setting a pretty low bar, you know, like I'm alive again another day. But that's really kind of what you have to, you know, you have to have that approach. We're just fortunate each and every day, Andrew, to be able to play. We don't not knowing what tomorrow will bring. Listen, tomorrow will be or not tomorrow. Friday will be our 13th game. That's the minimum number that you have to play to be NCAA tournament eligible. So it's an important game. We just want to get at least one more in case the worst happens. But I don't know if that answers your question or not. I went on a tangent there, but I really am proud of my team, man. I am. What they're going through in all student athletes is unlike anything, obviously, we've ever seen, and it's really hard on them. But I've been so happy that they've had really good attitudes about this whole thing. We were all disappointed when the ASU game was canceled because we played on a Thursday. A, we wanted to get that taste out of our mouth. And B, we had an extra day to spend in the sun in the desert. So, you know, that was a little disappointing. But it's good to be back home. I'm excited to get out and play again on Friday. And this is a good opponent. It'll test us. I'm confident that we're going to play well.
Coach, I know you recruit internationally. How familiar were you with Charlize in particular, and the fact that she's come out and she's averaging 20 a game? I mean, and on a good team. Kind of, did you know much about her?
I saw her in Belarus. I went that summer. We were chasing some of the American kids. You know, we were recruiting them, and we're in deep with some of them. And I did watch them play a couple times, and she was very impressive. At that time, you know, she would have been part of this freshman class. We were in pretty deep with this crew already. I didn't see the need to, you know, maybe get involved there. And she has proven to be everything that I saw and more. I don't think anybody saw this coming. And good on her. I mean, you know, she reminds me of Sabrina in a lot of ways, Eric. She doesn't get sped up, you know, she's strong and knows how to play the game. You know, Sabrina never wowed anybody with her athleticism necessarily, even though she was a very good athlete, because athleticism to me is body control, strength, IQ. I think all that plays into it. And she is, she's very similar in that way. Yeah, she's quite a player.
Kelly, sadly, is, you know, definitely been one of the biggest bright spots of the team this season and in this recent stretch. What have you seen from her to you know, play this well, and how have you been addressing, you know, protecting the inside with Sedona kind of being up and down as she eases back in?
Yeah, Niara's been great. She continues to you know, be really impressive, especially on the boards. You know, she's become our go-to player in a lot of ways. Works hard every day in practice. And, you know, she's got to continue to finish better and maybe get to the line a little bit more. But I'm really pleased with how she's playing. I think she's going to continue to grow. And we still have to remember she's played 12 games in, you know, two and a half years. So it's still, she's still trying to work things out. I don't want to keep using that as an excuse, but it is relevant, I think. So yeah, I've been real pleased with her. We're going to need her down the stretch. If we hope to make a splash in the NCAA, and I still think we will, you know, she's going to have to be a big part of that.
Kelly, did you know Cammie Etheridge before this hire, and what's impressed you most about how she's turned it around there?
Well, she's a basketball person. You know, she really is. She understands the game, loves the game, played the game at a high level. I don't think people realize she, I think, is in the Hall of Fame at the University of Texas. That's saying something. And she, you know, I think is real confident in who she is and what she does. And her players, you can tell, are just very well coached. They know who they are. They play to their personality and to their strengths. And that comes from the coach. So I'm happy for her. Yeah, followed her career for years at Kansas State. When I was at Gonzaga, she always called. We always tried to set up a game, never made it work, and then followed her time at Northern Colorado. She did a great job there.
Hey, Kelly, we asked you before the season leading up to it what you expected to be playing with no fans. Now that you're 12 games in, is there anything that sort of surprised you, or do you feel like your players are mostly able to – focus and it doesn't have an impact on the way they play and their attitudes?
No, I'd be lying if it said it didn't have an impact. I think they would love to at least have their families. That's still one of those things that I don't quite understand. But we need the fans. It's a bigger deal here. You know, we lose that game to UCLA, made two really great runs. You tell me that 12,000 fans in Matthew Knight Arena wouldn't have made a difference in a game like that? Of course it does. It's impacted our program, I think, more than most, because we really truly do have a home court advantage. And it's a shame, quite frankly. That's another reason why we were disappointed with the Arizona State game, because they're I think, the only place right now that actually allows fans, and you can have family up to so many. So we actually had a few families that were flying out for that game. And I saw the disappointment, some of our players whose families were going to be there. So I wish that there was a way. I go to Costco and rub shoulders with lots of people every time I'm there. We have a 12,000 seat arena. You know what I mean? I'll just leave it at that, because I like Governor Brown.
I saw Rob tweeting that you've just been really encouraged with the way the team has bounced back in practice since that loss. Is there any more insight, I guess, since we can't watch the practice and we don't get to talk to the players more often? Who's sort of been leading that charge on your team to make sure that the bounce back continues.
Now, some of the returners, quite frankly, I think Aaron Boley's really tried to step up. I think Taylor Chavez as well. That's where it's got to come from. They're the ones that understand the culture. You know, they've never been in this position before since they've been here. And so, you know, they're trying to deal with something that's new to them and in roles that are new to them. So, but I've seen it. They're trying. We're trying. I mean, we're not excited with where we've been. It we've taken a hit. I'm not going to lie to you. It happens. Stanford is going to discover that. I'm sure they've already discovered it this week. You take a hit and it kind of rocks you for a second, and then you've got to regroup and fight your way through it. It's just human nature. And like I said, this is something that's very new to really everybody involved in our program right now, outside of the coaching staff who, you know, our first couple years, we had some ups and downs. So anyway, we'll see on Friday, man. We'll see. Win, lose, or draw. Hopefully we just look better, play harder, play with some more passion.
I think that they will definitely do that. Judging from conversations with Kelly Graves, with Taylor Chavez this week, yeah, I think they're going to do that. And look, the goals are still in front of the Ducks. You know, I think that everybody's like, man, since Oregon beat Washington State in the final game before Christmas, the Ducks have gone 2-3. It hasn't been their best basketball. But they still sit 7-3 in the Pac-12. They're fourth place in the conference. And they're within striking distance of Stanford, who leads the conference at 8-1. I think you still have a big opportunity. And I think that we all knew heading into this season that there would be some lumps. But as Coach Graves said, didn't think they'd quite be like that, where they scored 41 points against Arizona. But on the road, now you learn from it. So what do the Ducks look like against Washington State? I think there's going to be some passion. There's going to be some fire with this team coming up Friday, 5 o'clock tonight. 5 o'clock. More women's basketball talk. Also going to switch gears, talk a little bit about men's basketball. Oregon State coming up. Is that even a word? Coming up tomorrow at 7:30 in a 7 o'clock pregame show here on the Oregon Sports Network. We're going to hear from Dana Altman. Updates on what the rotation could look like after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet. Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Cider, presented on Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you. It looks like Washington State has just taken set number one for Oregon volleyball, so it's going to be a comeback bid now for the Ducks. If you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour. Elsewhere for Oregon men's basketball, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip for the Ducks and the Beavers coming up on Saturday evening. Last time, it went pretty well for the Ducks. 69-54, way back on February 27th, 2020. I know that really isn't odd that the last time these two teams played was almost a year ago by the time they play each season, but it just, for whatever reason, it feels like it was an eternity the last time Oregon and Oregon State were on the floor together. Ducks have won 28 consecutive games at Matthew Knight Arena. Of course, that win over the Beavers is part of that 28 consecutive games. Second longest home winning streak in program history, fourth longest active home win streak in the nation. The only longer home winning streak involved a team that went to the Final Four. Ducks have defended Matthew Knight Arena well. And it'll be 14 days between games for the Ducks. 14 days between breaks is the longest in-season pause for the Ducks since the 1970-71 season, when the Ducks had 14 days between playing Cal on January 9th and Washington State on January 23rd. So I read that. Greg Walker goes back and finds all these great notes and puts them together, and he's really the research guy for Oregon basketball. I want to know why. Why did it get scheduled that way, that Oregon played Cal on January 9th of 1971 and then didn't play again until January 23rd of 1971? What the heck happened? I'm trying to think, like, did something go on in January of 1971? I don't know my history as well as I should, but anyway, I'm going to try to answer that question before the pregame show at 7 o'clock tomorrow. You know what? Jerry might know. I should ask Jerry. That would have been 12 years before he was the voice of the Ducks, but he was still a fan. He was still tuning in, filling in every now and then.
That would have made him about 62.
Come on. Oregon leads the Pac-12 in steals at 8.4 per game and field goal percentage at near 48%. Big reason why, Chris Duarte. They're going to be without their leading scorer in Chris Duarte here coming up. And that's unfortunate. He's averaging 18.5 points per game. He's been even better in conference games, and he's also leading the conference in steals. So without Chris Duarte, Ducks have got to find someone to score that isn't Eugene Omorui. I think Eric Williams is a huge key. I think Eric Williams might be the X factor for Oregon's entire season, but I think Eric Williams in this matchup with the Beavers is a huge key. Part two is who's going to defend Ethan Thompson. Amari Hardy, Jalen Terry, Aaron Estrada, those guys, we've talked about how they're going to be handling the ball, and they're going to have to do a good job without guys like Figueroa and Duarte, who are pretty good passers in the lineup. But it's also, for me, the defense. Ducks are leading the Pac-12 in steals per game. Chris Duarte is an individual leading the conference in steals per game. So, got to find the defense somewhere else. Those guys really are going to need to step up. And defending Ethan Thompson, leading scorer, leading assist guy for the Beavers, that's a key. I think that's a big key. Chris Duarte scored at least 20 points in 4 of the last 5 games. You're going to miss him. You're going to miss him. There's no doubt about that. Dana Altman, by the way, hit a couple of coaching milestones recently, and I think it's worth revisiting. With the Ducks' last 3 wins, Dana Altman passed both Denny Crum of Louisville and former Stanford and Cal coach Mike Montgomery to move into 23rd on the NCAA Division I career coaching wins list. Not only was the game against Utah Altman's 678th career Division I win, it was also the University of Oregon's 1,700th win all time. Think about how many games the U of O has played. And then think about how now the university has won 1,700 games. Man, it just puts in perspective how many games are played. And honestly, maybe the better way to say that sentence is how few games are played each year. Because 1,700 doesn't really feel like that big of a number, considering that Coach Altman as an individual has almost won 700 in his coaching career. Sometimes the math, it makes you think. It really, really makes you think. Oregon going to be a little bit shorthanded, though, and of course, that means it would be nice if the home crowd was there. We all know that. And fans, we hope to have you back soon. Quick timeout, Duck Insider today, brought to you by North Fork Public House, open for dine-in and takeout, NorthForkEugene.com. And then we're going to hear from Dana Altman. Some of his updates on rotation, personnel, a lot of different things to talk about with Coach Altman after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Dear Wallet, you can't stop in a 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics. Because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear Wallet, you can't stop in a 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
This is the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
All right, everybody in the car. Let's go.
What are we gonna do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
They say that car crashes happen in slow motion. The reality is that crashes happen fast. There's no time to think and no time to check if your child is in the right car seat. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your kids in the right seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Get more info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union. Joey Mack here with you inside the Country Financial Studio. This is a good note from Jack Wilson, class of 1975. Okay, so we're on to something with current here, right? Could have been some of the bombings on campus by anti-Vietnam protesters, threats against bombing of Mack Court. I didn't even think about that. But Jack, I don't know. Maybe you're right, but that's a good thought. So yeah, that was the last time, though, that Oregon had a 14-day gap in a season. 14 days between breaks is the longest in-season pause for the Ducks since 1970-1971. Ducks had 14 days that year between playing Cal on January 9th and Washington State on January 23rd. Don't know. But, Jack, that's a good thought. I'm going to have to do a little bit of digging to see if I can find the answer. And maybe I'll strike out trying to find the answer, but I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. Dane Altman, head coach, Oregon men's basketball. He met with the media yesterday. We gave you some of the updates as he made announcements on who's available, who's not, and I want to let you listen to just the way that he went about making these announcements. Look, this is an unprecedented year, and Coach Altman was just straight to the point and honest about how the availability of the roster is going to impact this game and going to impact, well, more than just basketball. Coach Altman talking with the media.
Dan, I just wanted a personnel update in terms of now that it's obviously no longer paused activities, but Jalen, is he back and ready to go? And what's Will's status, as it was right around now that was the six-week marker at the time?
Will, our available players for Saturday, might as well just get everybody up to date here. Jalen will be playing. He has practiced the last couple days. We were on a pause and no practice, no activity, nobody in the gym until Monday. But Jalen is back and has gone through all the protocols, so he's ready to go. Will not play. I'm not sure, James, how much longer that'll be, but we will not rush that. He does have the cast off. He is going through therapy, but he is not ready to go. So I'm not sure how much longer that'll be, but it definitely won't be Saturday. And then Chris Duarte and LJ will not play Saturday. They are still in protocol. And so those two guys will be out.
Dan, is there any other information you can divulge for us on how the pause came about and, you know, just some of the details of that, or is that stuff that you got to keep under wraps?
You know, I don't know what this is the first time we've been through it, Chris. You know, we were fortunate. Jalen was the only one who had missed games because of the COVID. And so I, you know, this first time we went through it, Chris. So, you know, I just don't know what information I can give. You know, I just, obviously when Chris and LJ aren't playing on Saturday, you know, so I'm just answering those questions now, but, other than that, you know, we just started practice on Monday and, we've been at it and, you know, trying to work the guys back slowly after a long layoff.
Dana, how much do you anticipate that layoff affecting the rhythm of the guys?
I don't know. You know, practices have been okay. You know, we've got to figure out a way to get a rotation, you know, with guys that haven't played a lot of minutes for us are all obviously going to have to step in. You know, we've got 12 scholarship athletes, but four of them are out. When you think of Dante and Will and Chris and LJ. So we'll have eight scholarship. We got some good walk-ons. Gabe's ready to go. Will's ready to go. We got some, you know, Luke's been here. So, you know, we've got guys that are ready to go. Eddie's missed a few practices, just being under the weather, no COVID related, just being under the weather a little bit. So, you know, we'll have 12 guys in uniform and, you know, we'll play.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what makes Oregon State so dangerous? They seem to be turning a corner as of late.
They really have played well. You know, their last two games, you know, they've played really well. A little rusty against Arizona, but, you know, and they won in different fashions, you know, beating Arizona State 80-79 and then playing a grind game with USC in the 50s. So they won different ways. They are playing good. And, you know, they can hit three, you know, 36%, I believe, as a team. And, you know, got some guys that can get it going from three. So they're playing good. They've got, you know, a lot of guys. They're playing 10 guys quite regularly. And so, you know, their depth, you know, will be something we'll have to handle. Their ability to rebound. They got some bigs that, you know, are big guys, you know, so be a tough game for us. There's no doubt about it.
Dana, I realize obviously everybody would prefer to have their full lineups available, and that goes without saying. How do you go about replacing LJ and Chris in the lineup, given that you are so thin at the moment? I mean, it's not giving away much. It's just finite options. So is it Aaron and Jalen? Is it Aaron and somebody like Will Johnson potentially? I mean, how do you go about it just in the short term? If it's hopefully just Saturday, how do you just get through the one game with such a thin situation?
Oh, we're still trying to figure it out, James. I don't have the answers yet. You know, we've tried a lot of things in practice. We still have today and tomorrow to try to put some things together. But you know, everybody will be called upon. There's no doubt. You know, have been out a while, so conditioning and everything. I you know, we're going to have to play the eight scholarship guys, and we're going to have to, you know, Frank's only played a couple minutes in a game, but he's going to have to play. Luke Ward's going to have to play. Jalen's going to have to play. You know, and like I said, I think Will, Gabe, those guys are ready to go. So, James, it's not an exact science, and you know, I'm not sure how we're going to approach it. I really, you know, it's a different scenario than we're used to. So we'll get ready. But I told our guys, hey, it is what it is. Every team in the country at some point in time has got to go through it. you know, so there are no excuses, no anything, just you go play. And I hope our guys will take that attitude and just go play.
Only other thing I had, Dana, was any indication yet as to how the Arizona games will get made up at the two Arizona schools, if it'll be on the back end with that trip, if you'll kind of front go to, you know, double dip on the front end and back end, or if it's going to be the final week with OSU, or how you're looking to do it just yet?
They're working on that, James. You know, we've had some conversations. Nothing's been etched in stone, but, you know, they're looking at moving some games around, you know, to try to get those worked in. And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, how it'll all work out, but definitely working on it.
Yeah, Danny, you mentioned Frank. What did you think of his couple minutes against Utah, and how have you seen him improving this week?
Oh, he did all right. You know, I mean, he was active, and, you know, he's been practicing good. It's just so difficult, Chris, for, you know, a guy to work in, you know, coming at Christmas time, you know, and the guys have all been around for a few months. It's just difficult, but he's handled it really well. I love working with him. He tries to do everything the coaching staff asked him to do. He's really coachable, really easy to work with. I think he's really talented. I think he's got a big time future. It's just really hard to, you know, to make that adjustment so quickly. And especially, you know, he hasn't played for a long time. You know, they were shut down. So it's not like he played all summer and played all fall. He's been rusty. He's been out for a long time. So, but he's really making an improvement in practice. We have no hesitation at all in putting him out there to play him. And, you know, he's, like I said, he's going to have to give us some minutes Saturday night.
Coach, obviously when it comes to playing Oregon State, they're in-state rivals, so there's a little bit of emotions playing in that game. But in this situation, you have two brothers on opposing teams playing one another. I was just curious what it's like for you when you coach players, maybe when they have someone really close on the other team or it's a family member, and just how you kind of approach that.
Well, you know, Gabe's such a good young man. He's really worked hard for us, and I just told him not to be sharing the scouting report with his brother. You know, other than that, you know, I know we want to win. I know, you know, Gabe wants to win so he can go home. You know, it'd be a little tough on him if he doesn't. But no, I haven't had many situations like this, you know, where brothers are playing against each other. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, it's a special moment for Gabe. And like I said, I hope we come out on the right end so he has bragging rights.
How's been the mental makeup of this team through the pause? And I guess how are Chris and LJ even just handling this right now? Are they in good spirits the best they can be?
Well, they're down. No, there's no other way to put it. You know, they're disappointed. You know, they wanted to play, and I think we've done a good job so far. You know, you start going over everything that could have caused, you know, a thing like this, whether it's small locker rooms, the plane, you know, what was it, you know, where it got started. But, you know, those guys are competitors. LJ and Chris, you know, they came here, they want to win, they want to play. And, you know, it tore LJ up that first game against Missouri. He didn't get to play. And now he's mad. Chris is upset. They, you know, they want to play. And, you know, especially when they're, you know, they're not sick. You know, it was asymptomatic, and, you know, they're not sick. So, and any young man that's not feeling bad, they want to play, you know. So, you know, they're disappointed. And I told them that, you know, players all over the country, you know, are going through this. They're just, you know, something that I know it's hard to deal with in the present, but it's just one game, and hopefully they'll be back next week.
Dane Altman, head coach, Oregon men's basketball. That is the hope, that they'll be back next week. Chris Duarte, LJ Figueroa, not going to be able to go on Saturday, 7:30 tip-off, when the Ducks will face the Beavers. We'll tell you about the rest of the weekend schedule as we wrap up Duck Insider next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student-athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. On Point Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
More Duck Insider coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joy Mack with you in the Country Financial Studio. We're keeping track of Oregon volleyball as the Ducks are up in Pullman. Currently down 1-0 if you're with us approaching 2 o'clock here in the afternoon, but the Ducks leading in set 2, at least by a few, and they're donning some new threads this year. The Ducks unveiling the new uniforms for Oregon volleyball today, and the Ducks are rocking them right now up in Pullman. And then, of course, they'll play Washington State again on Sunday. That's the way that the volleyball schedule is going to work this year. They'll play two matches against the same team on each road trip to limit travel and to limit exposure. Makes a lot of sense. So Oregon volleyball in action now, and they'll play again at 11 a.m. coming up on Sunday. Meanwhile, for Oregon women's basketball, big-time matchup against the Cougars tonight. 5 o'clock tip-off on Pac-12 Network, and then also a 4:30 pregame show across the Oregon Sports Network. Terry Johns and Dev Smith will bring you all the action for Oregon and Washington State as the Ducks will look to separate themselves from the Cougars a little bit, as the Cougars and Ducks both sit with 3 losses in the conference right now. It would be a big win for Oregon to take that next step up. And then you heard Coach Graves earlier talking about how the Ducks are uncertain what could happen on Sunday. We're all hoping that the Ducks are able to get a game in against Washington at 2 o'clock on Sunday. That's the plan, with a 1:30 pregame show for Oregon and Washington here on the Oregon Sports Network with Terry Johns and Bev Smith. But keep your eyes and ears open. Oregon Women's Basketball social media at UO Sports Network for updates. If anything does change, we'll let you know about it there for programming. And to all our affiliates who carry this show, carry all of our basketball games, just thanks for the flexibility, to be honest, and the schedule changes. And to you fans, I know it's tough. I certainly know it's tough. I mean, it's my job to keep track of all the schedule changes, and I still have my head spinning sometimes. So I feel you. And I hope that everything settles down a little bit here as we move toward normalcy as best we can. Talking about normal, it feels right to have Oregon and Oregon State playing again, doesn't it? Saturday, 7:30, Ducks, Beavers, 7 o'clock pregame show with myself and Jerry Allen. I am really excited to see the way that Oregon defends a Beaver squad that actually has a lot of new faces. Jared Lucas has been playing really well for them. Ethan Thompson, a familiar face, but there's a lot of new faces for Wayne Tinkle's squad, who's coming off a win over USC where they didn't even give up 60. I know I've been talking about that a lot this week, but I was impressed with the way that they performed on Tuesday. So the Beavers coming to town. 7 o'clock pregame show, 7:30. tip-off, Ducks, Beavs, Pac-12 Network, and of course right here on the Oregon Sports Network. What a week! We're going to do it again next week after a busy week of basketball. Scott Phillips, Mitchell Lee, have a good weekend, buddies. See you guys over the weekend.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Hundo P. Hundo P. Adjective. Short for being 100% sure or certain. As in, if we get a puppy, I'll Hundo P. always walk it.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.